My braid is flashing bird.
No quarter. I am going to be uncomfortable and all over you from start to finish.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Outside of the Box. And, you know, y'all knew that I was going to do a recap of the January event because I was there. It was a lot of fun. And this time I am doing the recap with the builders of probably my favorite robot at the event, which was BattleTots. So I have Kevin and Matt from Team Pandemonium here, and we're going to talk about their robots. We're going to talk about the event, and there's a lot of stuff. So you are both not strangers to the show, obviously. So
yeah, it's a pleasure having us on again.
Yep.
Definitely. So first of all, before we get into like the event overall, I want to talk about, you know, the robots that you had, particularly BattleTots, of course, and Little Man, which, you know, was kind of like a mini huge. So it's kind of like an additional BattleTot there. You know, I'm curious, Matt, because I know Little Man, you know, had some struggles. You fought NDA, you fought Division, probably not the best robots to have to deal with there. I mean, how would you say, like, I kind of like was hearing about your building process as you were making it. How do you feel about how things went at the actual event with it?
Generally speaking, for a first build for me, it went better than expected. I want to fight. Fallout historically went 0-4 until its third event, and Half-Life just was a potato at the new bot event last year. So going 1-2, and my second fight was close until my pulley screws came out. I was actually close to slamming the battery on NDA. I actually knocked off their protective cover, as well as sheared their weapon axle nut, so the bolt could have actually slid out at any point, and I could have hit their battery at any point. It was just not enough preparation, and honestly, learned a lot from the process. Have a lot thinking I'm actually going to be competing again and without any changes to it, other than changing a front leg a little bit in February at a G-Scroll event. And then after that event, I'm going to go full redesign for V2 because there's a lot wrong with it. And I've been very fortunate. Jonathan Schultz from Huge, I asked, hit him up when we had a cast of one of your shows talking about unique bots. And he mentioned he doesn't understand why there aren't many tiny Huges. And I was like, you know, he's right. I kind of just wanted to punish Verts for being Verts. And that was the intent of the bot. But overall, very happy with how the event went, even though I made a couple dumb mistakes along the way.
I mean, I think that that happens to everyone. I you know, had seen that you had fought NDA. I almost fought NDA if I would have won my first round matchup, and I really didn't want to have to. So that was kind of a blessing in disguise. But yeah, I mean, I think it was so neat to attempt something like that because it is kind of a wonder that more people haven't. I think it's a really, at least at BattleBots last year, it proved it's a really effective design. So I'll be curious to see how that moves along as you kind of make changes to it. Now, BattleTots. So I was really excited about this for so many reasons. I mean, you know, with my robot so far, I have gone very abstract when it comes to modeling my robots after BattleBots. So they definitely take inspiration, but not really like a very similar copy. And I thought it was so cool to see basically a mini Bite Force and a mini Ribot fight together. And probably one of the coolest things, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, Kevin, having Paul Ventimiglia tagged and have him respond and comment on the robot and everything, like that had to be the coolest thing.
It really was. That was so, like, I saw Luke had tagged him on Facebook and I was like, oh cool, maybe he'll see it. And he's like, oh, this thing's awesome, I hope it does well. And I was like, that's amazing.
Yeah. How do you feel about, you know, how it I mean, it did pretty well as an entry.
We didn't expect it to do as well as it did at all. I mean, I didn't expect it to do as well as it did at all. It was our first time doing anything 12-pound. Matt's first time with a kinetic weapon, weighing as much as it did. But it was a blast.
Yeah, I went in with a very low expectation. The original entry that was similar, same but different, went 1-2. And it had some luck in its one win, from what I recall. So much so that I actually brought my girlfriend along, because I said, oh, we'll be done by 5 o'clock. And we were not done by 5 o'clock. She went to the Sono Shopping Center because it was a long day. So we overperformed expectations, without a doubt.
Yeah,
I mean, you got 2 KOs out of the matches that you did with that robot, and ended up in the bracket as the number 5 seed, you know, which is really cool. What did you find about kind of going with this concept of a multi-bot? Because obviously this has kind of been a real thing since last year. It's not quite the loophole situation, because the weight balance is not quite as like striking as that, but it's still, I mean, we'll get more into that, but obviously when you look at 3 pounds, multi-bots did pretty well in that division. You know, you guys did pretty well in the 12-pound with that robot. Do you think this is going to be like, there's actually some incentive to try and go this route?
12-pound multi-bots are fun. I don't want to say they're going to be really competitive and they're going to take over like they did in the threes, but they are so much fun to do, and especially if you split it up with different people, because like, you're not responsible for 12 whole pounds of robot. It's like, okay, you have a little bit, you have a little bit. The physics behind it aren't as harsh because they're smaller than the 12 pound itself. So I don't think they're ever going to like be, oh my God, competitive. And I think we got a really lucky run, but it was a ton. Like, it's so much fun. And that's the reason to do them.
Realistically, the way the energy rule set was originally crafted was to encourage these kind of things, a la Wake and Bake. The idea was to be creative with the pound weight bonus, not doing the 13.2-pound 12-pounders or putting in a 3-pound beetle who becomes a wedge. The intent, I think, was originally to have 7.5-pound or, you know, a 5 and a 10, more unique weight bounces. And honestly, with Kevin, we were having a lot of fun with flywheel weights, because we were trying to fit that perfect 51% margin. That we were at the scale bunch and we were sneaking weights in Froggy because it was underweight, because I can't build robots to spec.
No, we can't. So yeah, that's the other part about this. So with same weight multi-bots, you don't want to hit one robot being 51% of the weight. So I designed for 7.5 pounds, and Matt came and he's like, here, it's like 6-something. So I'm like, no, we need to stuff weights in this thing. We need to get it closer to the right weight.
And as a counterpoint, Kevin was over 7.5 pounds by a little bit. Just a little bit, though. Just a little bit.
Probably not anymore, you know. I think Void helped get it back in weight.
Yeah.
I'm curious, though, because, you know, at the higher weight levels, I would say you don't see this as much, or when you do see it, it doesn't do as well. I mean, looking at BattleBots as like the big, well-known weight class as an example, multi-bots typically don't do very well. And you know, there's situations where mini bots as well aren't normally that effective. There's exceptions, but they're normally not that effective. Why, for both of you, do you think in the smaller weight classes, particularly the Beatles, it's so effective there when it's not effective at a bigger level?
I would say a lot of it is due to the energy density, because I know Zach Knight in particular talks about 12s being a funky physics where they have a big hit like a 30, but they move like a beetle. And driving Froggy around, it was a little undergeared, meaning it was a little slow. I still felt like I'm hitting harder than I should be right now, because my disc was like a pound. And when I posted that, many people were like, that's funny, that's tiny. But I still flipped a robot like a foot in the air, which was 12 pounds. So I'm like, this doesn't add up. I think a lot of it is just the combination. In the smaller weight classes, it isn't as punishing to be, you know, 7.5 and 7.5 versus 125 and 125, because the energy densities are different. And a lot of 12s, you know, aren't building, you know, deep six class weapons to punt you into the ceiling. They're, you know, just trying to hit you hard and hit you fast. Also, it's a little harder. The arena size, I think, scale-wise is pretty a little bit smaller. So Kevin and I had to work together to try to kind of go to both sides of people And a couple of times it definitely benefited us where we got a hit where likely if we were going face to face with someone, it would have been more jockeying where I got a hit in and Kevin would get a hit in. And we weren't the best at it, honestly, but it worked pretty well.
It was our first time.
Now, like, this is a good segue into like the overall competition because, you know, in the 30-pound division, speaking of mini battle bots, you know, Moccasin, which is obviously derivative of Mammoth, you know, builder Ricky Willems coming in, you know, has been a commentator exclusively at NHRL for some time and getting back into the mix and then winning the 30-pound. Over Colossal Avian, which at like I'm so like disappointed in myself that at the time I wasn't like, oh yeah, that's just another way of saying Big Bird. but you know, winning that, I mean, like I thought that was so great to see, and it was so cool to see that robot like in person at the pit table just down the row. You know, what did you both think about that?
I'll let you go, Matt.
Well, I mean, Mammoth traditionally does well into certain classes of robots just due to its nature. It's similar to a Huge where people don't face it enough to have a good idea what to do to it. And watching some of it was kind of like classic Mammoth things. Ricky just outdrove people and then did the Mammoth flip thing, and that was all it needed to do, which I'm not saying it was amazing because it was definitely well executed and very well done, which I would expect from Ricky. He's a very intelligent guy. You talk to him about robot stuff, and you can tell he has thought about many, many things. And even talking to him, Pitts, I said a lot, like, just, hey, how's it going? He's like, you know, I got to do a lot of vest tuning. You know, it's not really performing how I want it to perform. I'm not really happy with it. And you can tell Ricky's already thinking, okay, if I had 20 minutes, I'm going to mess around with this. And it showed. And definitely, it was very well done, well driven, and performed very well. And it definitely had a nice little carve in ways where Metabots don't love Mammoth because of how it acts and works, which is why it does so well too, because it kind of somewhat has a niche hold in the meta.
Yeah, Ricky is just super cool. Originally, he was positioned and he got moved, but you just go up to him, you talk to him. He's super like nice about everything, and seeing like the small version of the big robot downstairs was just awesome. One of our teammates wants to build a 3-pound version of it very badly, so.
Well, I mean, I think that we need to have more iterations of those unique designs, because I just think that they're really neat, you know. So now 12 pounds, obviously you were competing in that. I can't say, I mean, I don't follow 12s as much because it's not the division that I currently build in. However, I don't think I was that surprised at how well Questionable Choices did, considering that it kind of exploded Synthesis, which is not something that you normally see happen to any version of Synthesis. So, you know, they ended up getting to the finals, you know, being over Blue Marlin, you know, having kind of competed against a lot of those bots, obviously, throughout the day. What were your takes on seeing how well that did?
So until this event, I also didn't keep track of 12 pounds, and at the event I tried to as well, and it was like, who am I fighting now? Who is this one?
You had no idea what we were, when we heard we were fighting Pneumatador, we're like, we think it's Pneumatic Flipper. Is it the Pneumatic Flipper? And then Kevin was like, oh, it was. I was like, God bless. Watching the 12 pound class, I'd watched Bob's recap of Blue Marlin when it fought at Maker Faire Orlando or Maker Battle Orlando. I don't remember the exact term. It's like the Maker Faire. And watching that robot win, it had a lot of technical problems and it was a first time build from him. And when it came in, people seemed to be sleeping on it. Like, I talked to a few people and they were like, oh, it's not that good. You know, it's going to lose to this robot now, definitely. And it was just killing people because it was just dependable and well driven. And I think people really slept on it coming into the event. And watching that recap and Bob talking about how he was having ESC troubles and he'd made some dumb choices with red Loctite, which was pretty funny in his video because he said, I'm going to let you cringe all for a second. I was like, I think he's going to come in really strong. And he did.
Yeah. Any other thoughts? I mean, I don't think that you faced either of the robots that ended up making the finals.
No,
we were
no.
fortunate.
Yeah, I mean, Void, if Void would have went a little further, they're having issues. Those were terrifying robots, the Void Sky Ripper robots. They were just, we'll say, brothers. They were very close to robots to each other, and those were very, very cool, and it was very terrifying to face. I really liked the Grim Reaper 12. I think it was really cool that they just upscaled their 3 and made it all cool. And the shell on it was really awesome, too. Because, like Matt said, it was a formed UHMW. It wasn't a machine. They actually, like, formed their, like, big ring. It wasn't a pre-made pan or anything like that.
Yeah, I knocked out a chunk during the fight, and he gave it to Kevin Sign. And he puts it down. And I'm like, oh, this isn't like a, I thought it was like a gold mining pan because it had a couple of ribs. And he's like, no, this is just machine formed UHMW I did. And it was like, it's perfect. And I don't know how he did it. And that thing was so obnoxious because it was just, it hurt them too. They couldn't have a lot of, they had trouble driving, but we just couldn't get under it. And then we watched Sky Ripa fight it. And Zach had the same exact problem. He just couldn't get under the shell. That robot definitely, with a few iterations, could be difficult to deal with. But
yeah, Froggy was the one that did the most damage to it that day. I mean, you got to be proud of that one. I tried to give him the piece, and he's like, no, it goes on the wall. It's your robot. I'm like, you did this.
Yeah, Kevin's the captain of this robot, so he gets the tag, so he gets the prizes.
Running out of room on my shelf, Matt.
Seems fair. Now, on the 3-pound side, which obviously I am more familiar with, I mean, honestly, I can say I didn't really expect to see Scurry Fest versus Repeater in the finals. I mean, they're both obviously really good entries, but not what I expected to see, especially with some of the other really killer robots that were in that, you know, that weight class. You know, I'm just curious. There were so many, like always with 3 pounds, even with the reduction of robots, there's still so many. But I mean, like, you know, Division, I would say, was probably a favorite, you know, to go pretty far. You know, there were a couple of others, obviously, like Catalyst was probably a favorite to go pretty far. So I'm just curious to get that take. Yeah, and also that ties into what we were talking about earlier too, because Division is kind of like a mini Monsoon.
Yeah. Jeez, we had so many 3 pounds even from our team this event. So, because it was Johnny had brought Vapor Trail, and that was his first team robot, and it shocked us because Johnny does this thing where he just shows up and he's like, I have a pile of parts, let's build a robot, and somehow does amazing. And he got really, really far at that event. And I think him and Corey made it to the same round because we beat them, fought each other, right?
I know that Catalyst fought Repeater and it was going well till it didn't. And I don't remember if it was top 4 or top 8 for Corey.
It was top 4.
Four. Yeah.
And I think Johnny had a similar thing happened. No, he got
his was the top 60. Yeah,
he got because he lost to, I think, Wicked Sister or Twisted Sister.
Twisted Sister.
Yeah, because his robot became a pile of parts after that.
And he loved every minute of it.
I mean, every time Johnny comes to an event, man, he's like, you see pictures, you're like, oh, it looks good. Then he's like, yeah, the weapon's not really spinning. So we're just like, oh, did you file the hole a little bit? You know, put some grease in. It's always a fun time with Johnny. You're always like, oh, he'll be ready this time, and he never is. But it's okay. That's the bet. Johnny's the best under pressure with that. But with the 3 pound class, it didn't really surprise me to see Scurry Fest take it, because I knew Robert Rund. You know, he's part of our team as well. A little less so, you know, but he definitely is involved a lot, and he was showing us pictures of his best portion of Scurry Fest. And the moment I saw it, I'm like, yeah, they're going to go far. And then Miles, when I'm talking with him during finals 2 years ago at this point, when he had Komodo, Miles is definitely someone who has a lot of attention to detail. And when I saw the pictures early on, I'm like, they got something here. And then with Repeater, when I saw Peter was piloting one of them with Ryan, I think it's Lou or Law, who does Cobra Chicken, I'm like, I can see this going far. And then when I saw a fight, I'm like, yeah, doing pretty good.
Those two drove so well. In the Corey fight with Catalyst, it was going good for Corey, and then those two just like they flipped a switch. They started doing hit left, hit right, hit left, and like Corey did what he could, and they did a really good job driving in that match. And the final match was incredible too.
Yeah, you know, seeing four robots in a cage in the finals was a pretty cool thing. And yeah, it did surprise me because, I mean, it's really mainly like from one event, but Corey is pretty much known as like a two robot killer at this point. And so I was like, when I saw he was fighting Repeater, like Corey's got this, like he's destroyed two robots multiple times. And it didn't go that way this time.
He tried, and Catalyst was a terrifying robot too. Like, it has completely destroyed our test box, and so I guess that just really speaks to how like well driven and built Repeater was, because like Catalyst is nothing to mess with. And yeah,
I didn't want to mess with it. If I got matched up against Catalyst, I told Corey that would have been an instant tap out for me.
Yeah, yeah. On his team, like we're all on his team, and none of us want to face him. We're like, no, we're good. You just keep going. We'll, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I thought that it was an awesome event overall, and this was the first time that they had the, you know, technically like a freestyle tournament that people could enter in advance if they didn't get into the event. I'm curious what you think about that, because I like, as somebody who is still kind of testing out some ideas, I'm like, that might be an attractive option to me, you know, to kind of fight some robots and just test out what I have.
Freestyle is great. We use it every chance we can to learn everything we can. So the fact that they're just putting more effort into it now is awesome, especially with the lottery system they're doing now. It's going to give people a chance to still go and still hang out with their friends and use their robots and learn things about the robots. So I'm all for it. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, I'm a big pusher for freestyle. I always tell people, if you get knocked out 0-2, 1-2, or, you know, 2-1, depending on how the format is, it just go get some data and always fight someone. I know that when we were there at the last Newbot event, when we brought our existing Beatles as a 12, we got a lot of data fighting. After they were knocked out, I know in particular, I think Ariel got a lot of data about Blade stuff from just fighting some freestyles, as well as Johnny got a lot of Spartan time that he hadn't gotten, and it reignited him a little bit to want to keep it going. But I think that the freestyle tournament slash coming just to freestyle in general definitely keeps teams from wanting to fall apart. Like, I know at some point we're gonna roll that, and you know, Kevin and Ariel might get in, or maybe Johnny gets in and I get in, and Kevin and Ariel may still want to come down, or I might want to still come down. And it's nice to have something to do other than just kind of sit there and, you know, twiddle my thumbs, and I can still freestyle something if I want to. And I think they're on the right track with that, especially if they don't have to turn people away because too many people join freestyle. As long as that doesn't happen, I think they have a good formula. The format felt pretty good. It definitely felt less rushed. I know they had some technical difficulties with some of the scheduling stuff, with some bugs that came up with some judging things, but I think that March they'll iron out most of those kinks, and I think it's going to be dynamite.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm pretty sure everybody considers this a win, at least everybody that I know, but the new format with having the kind of preliminary play-in where you do best, you know, 2 out of 3, or you have to get at least 2 wins to be able to get into the tournament. I personally love it. Like, it's a guaranteed 2 fights. And as long as you win one of those, it's a guaranteed 3 fights. I think it's great. So I'm curious to get some more opinions on that.
So I got to play with that a little bit at finals, because that's when I started adapting like into this, and I did like it. It's at first it's a little more confusing trying to figure out like and plan for you after fight. You're like, okay, if I win this one, it used to be before, if you won this one, you go to this one. And so there's a little bit more back and forth, and it like gets grouped out, but like there's people on the Discord that explain like, hey, this is who you could potentially fight and everything. And it is really nice. Everything they've done to the format of the events has actually been a really nice change. It's way more relaxed now. So you're not like, oh, I have 20 minutes. What am I doing? Everything, just the schedule is amazing. And the new format has been fantastic so far.
Yeah, the scheduled fight time is really good because I know a lot of people struggle with taking a break to get a snack or getting water or even going to the food trucks. Having a "we will not fight you earlier than this time" posted is really relieving, because I know some builders are like, the moment I go downstairs, they're going to call me and I'm going to have to sprint up, or my friend's going to have to keep an eye. But if you know you have an hour, you can, you know, look around the bot museum, talk to other friends and stuff, go outside. It's definitely very nice. And it definitely relieved some of the stress because I knew when I was going down, and it definitely made the event feel like it flowed much better, even if some downtimes were longer because of the scheduling system, where in the past they would just say, next 10 robots come up. And then if you were the last of the 10, you could go first, and timings felt a little more rushed or not rushed, depending on who you were fighting, but it felt really good. I also like the extension added thing they added, where you get one extension. I know it benefited Johnny, because he was having some issues with programming in ESC, and he took his 15-minute extension, and he was able to go down and be ready to fight. Where in the past, you would have either had pit control wanting to pull their hair out and yell at you, or you would have been DQ'd, where it definitely is a nice little, oopsie, I need 15 more minutes, with a small penalty attached to it.
Yeah,
a lot of the changes are really meaningful. I mean, my first event, I was afraid to even move because I was afraid that if I went anywhere at all, then my fight would be called and you just didn't know. And now at least you either know for sure or have a pretty good idea of when the next fight's going to be. So I think it's great. You know, I hope that those like few bugs that did come up get worked out for the next event and, you know, all of that. But before we close up though, I know we'll circle back to the Battle Tots thing, because I have heard that there may be some more Battle Tots coming, and I am definitely very excited about this myself.
So the plan with Battle Tots, so just a little backstory, I ended up with Same Force because JMO had literally, like, it was his robot originally, and he designed it, and he literally like threw it on a shelf and was like, hit me, beat me up, take me home. And I saw that Matt had pointed out at an event, and I went and grabbed it, and I was just gonna have JMO sign it, throw it on the shelf as a cool piece. And he goes, so you want to rebuild it? And I'm like, absolutely, like, this guy's a legend. He's like, here's the CAD, go ahead. And so, like, I redesigned it, and that's when we like got the Froggy. Like, I've talked to Matt, and Froggy became a thing, and as it went on, we're like, you know, we don't have to have just two. Like, we can almost do the loophole style thing without like really beating up the rules, because we're going to stay within that multi-bot weight bonus. So it's like, who else can we join? And so I've started bringing the rest of the team in on it. And so we got a couple members building this one, somebody's building this one, and it's going to be great.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to it. I think we're targeting April for its return, right, Kevin?
Yes.
Assuming the lottery is generous and kind to us. And I think we're going to try to have at least one or two, toddler friends with it. I know that one of them is going to be on a roll. I don't know if, Kevin, you want to get a hunt on the other one.
I mean, the other one is going to be driven by Robert Run. And it's so everything's based after 250-pound BattleBot. That's like our rule for BattleTots. So I'll let everybody else kind of figure that out. If you know Robert Run, you'd probably have a good idea about what it's going to be.
Well, I am definitely excited to see it. You can make as many Battle Tots as you want, and I'm going to be the most excited person. So, well, I guess everyone has something to look forward to, for sure. And I have no doubt we're going to continue to see really awesome things come out of Team Pandemonium. For everybody that's watching, please make sure that you continue to follow that little storyline. And, you know, obviously keep watching the show. I have lots more giveaways planned. So if you really wanted that Sawblaze part and you didn't get it, there's going to be plenty of other things that you can potentially get your hands on very soon. So keep checking that out. Make sure you like, subscribe. We're now less than 300 away from 1,000 subscribers, so now's a good time as any to do it. Keep supporting Combat Robotics, and we'll see everybody next time on the show.
Thank you.